Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, verses 16 through 18. Let's listen to the reading of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 6, 16, 1 through 8, 16 through 18. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you need before you ask him. Jump down to verse 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can read your word and preach your word. And thank you that we can be changed by your word this morning. We ask for your Holy Spirit to do just that. Change us. Grow us. And if we're here and we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Father, we ask for your Spirit to work in their hearts and bring them to faith in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Mount. He's continuing his Sermon on the Mount here. And throughout this sermon, though, I hope you have noticed if you've been with the sermon series, Jesus is tackling issues of the heart. Of course, he's tackling physical sins as well, but it's really, he's focusing on the heart. And here this morning, as we look at this section of Scripture, it really doesn't change at all. Jesus is going for a man's heart, and he wants us to see our heart here this morning as we sit here and listening to his word. So let's start by looking at verse 1. Look again at verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. All right, so Jesus has taught on tough stuff, right? He's taught on divorce, adultery. He's taught on anger, loving your enemies, as well as other things, right? Those are just a few of the topics that we've already covered that Jesus turned on. But now he's turning his attention to acts of piety. Right, he's turning his attention to acts of piety, and he gives three examples. It's giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. Now, he's not limiting his overall point that we'll get to in a little bit. He's not limiting it just to those three acts of piety. Okay, this is covering all acts of piety, but here he's giving the three examples of those. And what he's dealing with, though, is when we do acts of piety, when we do prayer, fasting, giving to the needy, examine your heart. Where is your heart when you do those things? All right, so that's what Jesus is talking about. Where is your heart when you pray? Where is your heart when you fast? Where is your heart when you give to the needy? And then you can apply that to all acts of piety as well. But notice the first thing that Jesus says, beware. Beware, be careful when you do acts of piety, followers of Christ. Be careful when you give to the poor, follower of Christ. Be careful when you pray. Be careful when you fast. Make sure your heart is doing it for the right reasons. Make sure you aren't doing it in order to get glory and honor from other people. And make sure you're not doing it to get the likes on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Make sure you're not doing this to swell your ego. Make sure you're doing this for the right reasons. Again, check your heart. Check your heart. Make sure you're doing it for what? For God's glory. Make sure you're doing these things for God's glory. And notice what he says here. He says, you will not get any reward in heaven. You will not get any reward in heaven if you are giving to the poor, praying and fasting for with the wrong reasons. Now, if you jump down to verse 5, he says, I guess that's a spoiler because we're jumping ahead, but you'll see that you do get a reward from men, right? All right, men might praise you. Men might give you heaps of praise. You might get more likes than you've ever gotten on Facebook before, but you don't gain anything in the kingdom of heaven when we give, when we pray, when we fast with the wrong heart. And this is important for us. Jesus is saying, beware. So everyone here this morning, including myself, we need to beware. I saw a warning sign. This is great. This is a great warning sign. This warning sign, and I don't know what it was for, but it says, danger, do not touch. Not only will this kill you, it will hurt the whole time you are dying. Right? That's a really good warning sign. I like that. I like that. I think that's what, Lydia, you should put on your candy for Fletcher. But here, this is a warning that Jesus is giving all of us. Okay? All of us. Because all of us can be tempted with giving, with praying, with fasting, with any other act of piety, with the wrong heart. To get the praise of men. To get the likes instead of bringing glory to God. So we must all beware. And don't come to this text this morning thinking, oh, I'm okay. Come to this text this morning examining your heart. Now let's get to the first example. Look at verses 2 and 4. Excuse me, 2 through 4. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you that they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right, so here's the first example that Jesus uses, giving to the needy. This is important. We're so blessed in this church, in our country, in our town. Let's talk about the needy. Right now in America, there's a 6% unemployment rate. Okay. Now, to be fair, that's down from last month and really down from last year at this time, right? But what that means is there's a lot of people who don't have work. There's a lot of dads out there that don't know how they can pay for the mortgage or pay for gas in the car or pay for food. It's real. It's real. There's unemployment out there. There's needy people out there. Right now in America, there's about 500,000 homeless. 500,000 homeless. Those are 500,000, half a million people who do not have a place to go at night. They're homeless. Statistically speaking, this is not a hard fact, but statistically speaking, there are 70 people in Montrose County who are homeless. Now, before you say that's not much, in Montrose County, 70 people don't have a home to go to, and that includes children. 70 people. There's need out there. There's need. There are people who are weighed down and burdened by medical debt. Not credit card debt. Not like buying the big screen TV debt. But medical debt. They have to pay they have to buy prescription drugs. They have to have that emergency surgery. The average person with medical debt has $5,000 of medical debt. $5,000. One third of people who have medical debt have over $10,000 of medical debt. That's a burden. That's a need. What's my point? There's countless other examples. There is need out there. And giving to the needy should be something that's on our radar. Helping those who are less fortunate than us should be on our radar. So if this example does not even apply to us because we don't give to the needy or don't care about the needy, check your heart for that. And then wade into the pool of checking your heart behind giving to the needy. But there's needy people out there, and we as the church should be giving to the needy. Now, what is our heart supposed to be like as we give? Like, what's our attitude to be when we give to the needy? First, what does Jesus say here? Don't make a show of it. Don't make a show of it. Don't blast the trumpets. Now, that seems really weird, right? I don't carry around a spare trumpet with me wherever I go. None of us do. But in the context of this passage, what he's talking about is the religious leaders or the rich people, they would just announce their coming to give to the needy. They would blow the trumpets. They would sound the horn, sound the alarm, I guess you could say, right? So everyone could stop what they're doing and look at them as they gave, as they helped the needy. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Now, we don't do that, right? We don't have the spare trumpet that we carry around. But we have social media. We have other ways where we blast the trumpet. We sound the horn when we give. How about this? Have we ever posted something on the social media, whatever your social media is, like this? And I purposely, now, TRPCers that have been here for a while, I'm using this last name. So there's an Easter egg there, okay? If you don't know what an Easter egg is, never mind, but just listen to this. Okay. Just helping the Johnsons move their heavy piano up 3 flights of steps. Hashtag back pain, hashtag blessed. Right? Or maybe it's Thanksgiving. So this is what we post. Just feeding the hungry on Thanksgiving, hashtag happy Thanksgiving, hashtag filling full. That's what, okay. Okay. Did you get the Johnsons in there? You get Owen and Carol? You got that? Okay. Who else do we move in this church but the Johnsons? Right? All right. Those are, if you're visiting or if you don't know those people, it's just, these aren't real. Okay. But these aren't real. But doesn't that sound like familiar? And older people, go on a millennial Twitter account or Facebook feed. That's real. People post that. We're not blasting the trumpets. We're not, banging on the gong. But we're posting on Facebook. Why? So people can see that we moved the piano or that we fed the hungry. Okay? Why do we do that? I think because we want the attention. I think because we want the praise. Now, Jesus is not saying here, well, he's definitely not saying, and he wouldn't, if he was here right now, say, don't post things on social media. Okay, yeah, go ahead. I do, right? But what's the heart behind that post? What's the heart behind the post? And maybe you're not on social media. A lot of us aren't, and that's, well, you're better off for it, right? But maybe you tell someone in conversation, look what I did, you know? We got to be careful with that. Now, I'm not saying don't tell other people what you do. Of course, I mean, we share, right? But where's your heart behind what you tell people? Are you seeking the attention? Are you seeking the glory, the honor? Though you would never say it that way. Why are you telling people? Why are you posting? That's what Jesus is getting at. Don't make a show of it. When you do things for the needy, don't make a show of it. Secondly, what is he saying here? He's saying the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, or George W. Bush years ago said, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. Remember that? No one? Okay. I notice I did opposite hands, people. Okay. But what is he saying when he says that? He's saying, make giving such a natural part of your life, such a natural thing that you do, that your left hand doesn't even know that your right hand gave. You give so much, maybe not like in financial, you don't give millions of dollars, but you just give so much. It's so much a part of who you are that you're not going to go on Facebook and brag. Because that's just what you do. You just give. You just help the needy. Make it a natural part of your life. Now think about how beautiful that scene is. Think about how beautiful it is for the follower of Christ to just give and to give so much and so naturally that they would never even think about telling others because they don't think much of it. Give. Give. That's what he's saying. Don't make a show of it. Just give naturally. Make that a part of who you are as a follower of Christ. Let's look at the next example. Look at verses 5 through 8. Now, granted, 5 through 8, and then we'll jump. We're going to look at 9 through 15 next week, Lord willing. Okay, we're going to look at this specific prayer that Jesus gave us. I wanted to kind of separate it for this sermon, but we'll come back next week and look at 9 through 15. But look at 5 through 8 right now. Jesus says, when you pray, You must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. All right, so here, prayer. Like, prayer is a great thing, right? If you know me, you know I've said that. Prayer is great. But here again, a warning. As great as prayer is, if we come to prayer with the wrong heart, the wrong attitude, it is not great. It is wrong. And here Jesus is not making public prayer an issue. Like, it's not wrong to publicly pray. Frank did not sin by publicly praying this morning. Okay? Now, we might get to Frank's sin in a second. I don't know. Only he and the Lord knows, right? But Frank coming up here and praying publicly, or any of our elders or myself praying publicly, is not what Jesus is getting at. Okay? What's the heart behind your prayers? What's the heart behind your prayers? He uses the example of people praying with empty phrases. Again, the religious leaders. You know, using big words, but also empty phrases. Things that they didn't really, their heart wasn't in. They didn't really mean. Their heart was more, their prayer was more for man than it was for God. They're hypocrites. That's what Jesus is saying here. And you know what? Here's the thing. I think this is a huge temptation in the church. I think this is a huge temptation in the Reformed church. This is something that I have struggled with for 17 years of being in ministry. Prayer. I'm still self-conscious about it. It's still hard for me to want to come and pray, because coming from a seminary where I graduated with a dream team of seminarians, man. They're like, they're seminary professors, seminary presidents, they're church planners, pastors of huge churches. They're amazing. I'm so proud of my colleagues there. And they were brilliant minds. And they prayed with a true heart, I believe, with big words, big words like, propitiation and infralapsarianism and supralapsarianism. I don't even know what those two things mean, right? But that's how they prayed, and there's this temptation for me to pray just like that. But that's not who I am. And so for 17 years, I've struggled with that. Still struggle with that. We are to pray to the Lord, not to man. We are not to use empty phrases for man. We are to use real words, heartfelt words to who in prayer? God. To God. So what does Jesus do to tell us to do here? First, he says, pray in secret. Now, you might be thinking, isn't that hypocritical of me to say that Frank didn't sin by publicly praying? No, pray in secret. And what's Jesus' point here? Don't go to the street corners and pray these loud prayers with empty phrases where the heart's for man, not for God. If you're going to pray, first go to your closet and pray. Go in your closet where you're alone, where it's just you and the Lord, and pray, talking to God, where there's no temptation of trying to impress people. And then do that so much, so often, that your life and your prayer is so focused just on the Lord that there is no temptation then. You just want to pray to the Lord because that is what's natural to you. So you can stand up here and you can pray in front of 100 and whatever people, amount of people we have here, but it's between you and the Lord. It's between you and God. So pray in secret. Why? So you can get used to praying to God. And that's it. But secondly, be real in the words you use. Be real in the words you use. Maybe you use big theological terms. That's great. Good for you. Maybe you don't. That's great. Good for you. But be real. That's why sometimes kids' prayers are the best, aren't they? Because they're praying real. Maybe we should have the little kids come up here and pray on Sunday. Uh-oh, session's getting tense, right? No, but they're real prayers. Real prayers. Real words. Real words. In our prayer life, ponder your heart. How do you pray? For man or for God? And elders, we definitely have to check our heart there as we lead in public prayer. Are we praying to impress our flock? To make them think that we deserve to be an elder in the way we pray? Or are we praying in a way that just brings glory to God because we're talking to God? Check our heart. Check our heart. Now let's look at the third example. The third example. Fasting. Fasting. All right, look at verses 16 through 18. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. All right, so fasting. Now, what is fasting? Fasting is the refraining from eating or drinking for a certain period of time. Okay, that's technically the definition of fasting. So to abstain from drinking or eating for a certain period of time. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. Okay, it's a thing that maybe you have participated in. Our own denomination and our church constitution has a chapter for fasting. And it even says that for a period of time, it is good for the denomination to hold a fast. So fasting is good, just like prayer, just like giving to the needy. So Jesus here is not saying don't fast, right? He's not saying don't fast. But how are we to fast? How are we to fast? In the context of the passage, look what the people that are fasting are doing. They're making everyone see how, you know, pale their face is. Okay? Apparently, when you give up food for a while, which I don't do very often, you go pale, right? You go pale. You lose some energy. And here the people and Jesus, in this time, the religious leaders, they were doing that to get attention. Look how pale I look. Look how messed up my face looks. And Jesus is saying, no, don't do that. Don't advertise. That's what they're doing. They're advertising that they're fasting. Wash your face. Make it look like you're not fasting so no one will tell. Because why? Fasting is for the Lord, not for man. Now, maybe we don't necessarily fast very often in the modern church, but for some reason during Lent, A lot of Christians take part in Lent. Lent is a Catholic holiday. It's not necessary. It's not necessary for a Christian to take part in Lent. I'm sure I'm going to maybe ruffle some feathers by saying that. You can talk to me afterwards. But sometimes Christians do. And sometimes Christians, they give up caffeine for Lent. They give up television for Lent. They give up paying their taxes maybe for Lent. All right? So it's not food, it's not drink, but I think that it corresponds to this. So if we do that, what are we supposed to do? If you're going to give up something for Lent or for whatever, don't post about it. Actually, pay your taxes. Don't fast on taxes. But don't go on social media. Don't go on social media and say, I'm giving up things. Don't tell people, hey, I'm giving up this for Lent. If you're honestly, legitimately going to go through like a spiritual discipline of giving something up for Jesus, then let that be for you and Jesus. I have given up on working out for years, and you don't hear me bragging about it, okay? So be like me in that sense. But do you understand the point? Just do it. Because if we're telling people about it, hey, look what I'm giving up for Lent, or look what I'm giving up. It's about you. And what's fasting supposed to be about? You and the Lord. And it's supposed to be ultimately about God's glory. So if we're going to give something up, whether it be food or drink or whatever, let it be between you and the Lord. Again, what is all of this? This is an issue of our hearts. This is an issue of our hearts. And what is our heart saying? We want to worship ourselves. We want worship. And Jesus is essentially saying here, worship belongs to God alone, not to you. So what's your heart? What's your heart? Where's your heart at? Now let me switch gears here for a second. And I'll come back. But let me switch gears here. Maybe you're thinking right now that in your heart, I don't want to give to the needy. I don't want to pray. I don't want to fast. Like, that has no interest to you. Now, this isn't a sermon on giving. This isn't necessarily a sermon on fasting or praying, but I'm going to kind of turn it that way. Okay, I'm going to turn it to that way because we should want to pray. We should want to fast. whether it's from food or drink or something every once in a while. We should want to give to the needy. Why? Well, I think 1 Corinthians answers that. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think we should give. I think we should pray. I think we should fast for God's glory. I think when we see someone in need, whether it's in this church or outside of this church, when there is a serious need, a serious brokenness, we should see that and say, hey, for the glory of God, I want to help. When we should honestly want to pray to our Lord and Savior. Why? For His glory. And every once in a while, we should fast from something. Why? For God's glory. We should have that desire because our desire should be to bring glory to God in all that we say and do. So we should have that desire to give, pray, and fast. But we should also have that desire because the love of God has impacted us. If we are here and we have repented of our sins and trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then the love of God has touched you. And we should go out with that love to others. We love. Why? What does John say? Because Christ first, or because God first loved us. So we should want to feed the hungry. We should want to pay the electric bill for someone who doesn't have a job. We should want to give to the needy. Give, give, give. Because we love God. And we want to show that love. We want to show that love. Again, not on Facebook, not on social media, not to others, but to God through giving. We should want to do these things also, like giving, fasting, praying, because that's what Jesus did. And if we're saved, don't we want to be like Christ? Think about all the ways that Jesus gave to those in need. He healed the sick, right? He fed the hungry. He gave to those who were spiritual and needy by giving his life on the cross. Jesus gave and he gave and he gave to those who were in need. That's our Savior. That's our hero. That's who we should want to be like. Jesus prayed, didn't he? He sought time alone. Why? To pray, to talk to God the Father. You know, the night before he died in the garden, he prayed so intensely that he bled. Right? On the cross, as he was dying for sin, he prayed. Jesus fasted, right? And then one of the greatest moments of redemptive history, we talked about a few weeks ago. You know, he went into the wilderness, but what did he do before that? He fasted. He fasted. So here we see three things that they're not random. This is who Jesus was. And this is who we should truly desire to be. We should be like our Savior. But we should do these things too. Why? Why else? Because of the gospel. The gospel. We have been saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We were dead and we were in our sins. We were enemies of God. And what happens when we're saved by the gospel? We are new creations. We're not the old. The old is gone. The new has come. So we should want to do these things with the right heart because the gospel has changed us. So brothers and sisters in Christ, right now, silently, to yourself, check your heart. You know, first of all, are you giving? Are you praying? Are you fasting? And if you are you doing it with the right heart? For God's glory, not your own. And if you're not, I encourage you, pray for God to reveal a way that you can give to someone in need. Okay, we live in a town that is very expensive to live in, right? We all know that. It's expensive. But we live in a town where there's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of need. Pray how you can give. Like, give like Jesus. Pray to pray more. That's kind of a weird saying, right? But pray that you will get in this deep, intimate relationship with God where you pray to Him every day. You cry out to Him all the time. And pray how you can fast. Again, with the right heart for God's glory, but get in the right mindset of these spiritual disciplines. Give, pray, and fast. But don't misunderstand me. And don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is not saying, give to the needy, pray, fast, so you can be saved. You know, Don't pray and give and fast to earn God's love. That ain't going to happen because we have a sin problem, right? But Jesus happened. And that's what deals with our sin problem. Not fasting, not praying, not giving. Jesus. So if you're here and you know Christ, give, fast, pray, and do it with the right heart. Do it for God's glory. And if you're here and you don't know Christ, you know, give, pray, fast, sure, but repent. You have a sin problem, like I had a sin problem. And the only remedy is Jesus. Repent of your sins, trust Him as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. You will be forgiven. And then you can join me in giving, in fasting, and in praying. Not for our glory, but for God's glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the Sermon on the Mount. And Father, help us. Help us with our heart problem. Help us not give and fast and pray for our glory, but help us do that for your glory. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. And that means we are saved if we have repented of our sins and trusted Him as our Savior. But Father, because of that death on the cross, because of Jesus, we are free now to give for your glory. We are free now to fast and to pray to you. Father, help us realize that, understand that. And Father, help us do that again for your glory. And Father, if there's someone here who does not know you as their Lord and Savior, if someone is here and they don't know Jesus, save them. They are needy, spiritually needy. They need Jesus. So bring them to faith and repentance in Him. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.